So here it is. Let's go into the cosmos.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Into the Cosmos, your New York Cosmos team podcast, exclusively here on the Sports Palooza Radio Network. I am EJ Garr, and by now you all know my co-host, Franco DeLapa. Franco, what is happening, man? How you doing?
All good here, EJ.
Nice, man. Nice, man. That's how you feeling, man? What's happening? You happy with a nice 3-2 win for the Cosmos this weekend? That was a pretty big win, Franco.
It was a really spirited game, too. You know, I mean, very rewarding for the Cosmos. I mean, that was one of those games that, like, they used to win last year, you know. Maybe a little sloppier than those games, but the resiliency, you know, and the resourcefulness that they used to have, you see in that come more to the fore, sort of a spirit, sort of a belief. So that was good to see. Yeah, it's a real rivalry game. We talked to Jimmy Mulligan a little bit about that, and it's really a rivalry game now. So high level motion, passion going on in that game, and that was really – so it's good to watch. Yeah, good. And then I come away with a win, which, you know, makes it all worthwhile for the Cosmos.
Yeah, big win for the Cosmos. I mean, you know, when you come away with a 3-2 win, you're putting yourself in a 2-0 hole before the 15th minute of the match. I mean, there's certain people who haven't even sat down yet. And the Cosmos are down 2-0 to a big rival like Tampa Bay, which, of course, you know, that's a big match for the Cosmos, Tampa Bay. These two have been going at it for 40 years, man. So, you know, for those of you who are either at Shore Stadium or home watching that game play out, Jimmy Mulligan did play a pretty big role in that win. I mean, he's going to be joining us here, like Franco said. Yeah, I mean, he had a big influence on the second goal. Of course, putting that beautiful ball into the middle of the box like that with no loss to it. Just a beautiful ball. I even gave him props for that because that was a beautiful ball. Of course, saving the game at the end of the match with that header that was arguably earmarked for that post, Franco. I mean, there was a lot going on there. Jimmy Mulligan had a big influence on this match.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely, you know, we're talking about this later. There's no stat for it. Jimmy Mulligan, you know, putting that ball in there, that being in the right place at the right time, all that stuff adds up. A few of those plays, those are obvious ones. Other ones, it all adds up, and that's, you need to do all that to win a game, and you need to do it from the first minute, which maybe the Cosmos didn't do as well, through the 93rd minute, which they did. You know, they got better as the game went on.
And, of course, here comes David Diosa, and, of course, here come the cardiac Cosmos again, Franco. You know, we even brought this up with Jimmy. You know, Frank and I just sat down with Jimmy about an hour ago, and we're going to talk about this stuff with Jimmy and David Diosa coming off the bench. Man, what a job this kid does. I mean, you know, you come on the field in the 87th minute of a match, and you really don't know how much of an influence you can actually have. But he ends up getting the play of the week for the Cosmos in a matter of a few minutes, man. I mean, the guy didn't even break a sweat. Well, I guess in this kind of temperature, there's no way you can't break a sweat just by taking the pitch. But, I mean, he was on the field for 5 minutes, man. He ends up having the play of the week in the North American Soccer League. Huge goal, give the Cosmos a 3-2 win with that near post run. And then Jimmy talked about that, too. David Diosa, man, silently is becoming a very dangerous man in this league, Frank.
Yeah, I thought he was playing with a lot of confidence, too. Come in then, you know, and make the difference. You know, he's been in some tough situations with this team during the season. Things haven't gone so well, but he's right there. You know, even going back to that Ibar game, I think we interviewed him after that, and he was talking about being nervous in that game, but you can't tell. You know, he was taking the penalty kicks and you know, it was just a friendly game. You can't tell. I think he's very composed, and, you know, he's just beating off everybody else is like that, too. So I see a lot of composure on this team now, and as it goes along, things aren't going to get any easier or less tense. I mean, these games, Tampa, the last two games, they've been pretty high-level passion going on there, and nobody giving an inch. So, yeah, it's good to see. He's still a young player. David Diosa is still just growing, you know, and you see that. Yeah, good to see. Very composed finish at the end and just, you know, it's a game winner, and obviously he gets a lot of credit for that and an award, too.
Yeah, what do you think about the handball? I mean, you know, I still don't know if it was clarification if that ball was actually a handball because it did hit off his left arm. But, then there was another report that it was actually a trip in the box that caused that penalty kick. I still don't know. I actually watched that game twice. I still can't figure out whether it was the handball that they called. There has been no official thing that came out and said what the official call was. But, obviously it was enough to get the Cosmos a 2-2 draw at that point. And coming away with those 3 points, Franco, the Cardiac Cosmos are obviously back. And Coach Gio, boy, I'm emotional. I don't know what happened to Coach Gio over the course of the week. Maybe it was just because Tampa was in town, knowing it was a big match. Of course, the Cosmos were 1-2-2 in their last 5 matches. So, being down 2-0 early, oh, boy, the 8-ball was out. And there was a lot of stress in that match. Obviously, we saw Campbell and Coach Gio. Oh, my goodness, those two were barking. I thought they were going to start throwing fists at each other, Franco. You don't see that too often. It took the ball boy. I saw the ball boy had to come in there and get in Colin Campbell's face to say, all right, that's enough, man, that's enough. I mean, and then obviously later on we saw King and Adam Moffitt get into it. And King, I thought King was going to break out boxing gloves and start punching Adam Moffitt in his face. And Adam Moffitt's not that guy. So I don't know where that came from. I highly doubt Adam Moffitt was insulting anyone or doing anything wrong. It was a physical match. I still don't know why King reacted like that. Obviously, the two both got sent off with red cards about the 67th minute or so. So, man, that was strange to see Adam Moffitt and King get sent off, Franco. We don't see that.
Well, let's go back to the handball first. I thought at first it was a trip. And then listening to the commentary, Frank Biasola did a really good job, I thought, on that. He was saying for sure it looks like a handball, and he didn't agree with that. So that was a tough one to figure out. But I did see – I think the referee saw a lot of stuff going on there. The other thing is the defender can't really go in like that with his hands up and expect to get away with it. I mean, that's not really how you defend. You got to keep your hands, away from the ball, not, like, going towards the ball. So I thought the defender asked for that call in a lot of ways. So it probably was a handball. You can't even, like, look like you're doing that and barely touch the ball. Say you barely touched it and you're coming in with your hands up like that. That's a handball, and it's a penalty. So in that case, I think the referee did go for that. The other thing I think Stuart Campbell and Tampa have set in a sort of a narrative or an agenda here where the referees and these controversial calls are more important than anything else that's going on out there too. So that's kicking up tension with the other teams too, because they're saying, hey, we get bad calls too, or so we don't want that to be the primary thing. And I think they're spending a lot of time, and I think Gio said that as much. He said you can't just keep blaming or calling everything as a bad call in the referee. Look, the other thing is the referee is a big part of the game. They might have a bad day. They might have several bad days. That's part of the game, because players have bad games. Coaches have bad games. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's just part of the deal. So I think you got to be careful about making that the overarching reason why, things happen, And I think Tampa's done a bad job of that. And so now everything looks like it's, on this referee in every call. So once it gets to that stage, it's hard to go back. I think they need to reboot, and I think they tried to do that a week ago during the week. The owner, Bill Edwards, I think, put out a statement that, that they wanted to kind of start over on that sort of thing. They already put out a video with all the, this victim mentality, I think, is not going to help that team. So saying that, there was already a rivalry game. You've got all that going on. And so by the time Darnell King looked to, like, clip Adam Moffitt from behind a little bit there, I mean, tensions were really high. So there was a lot of things were exploding. A lot of emotions were exploding there at the end.
Really were, man. I mean, emotional is the perfect word for that match. I really couldn't believe that Chelsea at halftime said, even interviewed Coach Gio as they do at every halftime, and I couldn't believe she said to him, so what do you think of the refereeing and all this stuff so far? I actually couldn't believe Coach Gio answered the question. I thought he was going to put Chelsea right through that backboard, like he was fired up, he was pretty fired up, man. Barking about how Campbell was barking at the referees the whole entire match, trying to get every little stupid call. And then it turned into, like I said, I thought Campbell and Coach Gio were going to go at it. I couldn't believe that, man. And so obviously now that the fall portion is getting nearer to the nitty-gritty and all these points are going to be so essential, Franco, every single point is going to be huge now. There's no giving away points at this point. You want 3 points every weekend, and if you don't get 3 points every weekend, you might find yourself out of position. I mean, obviously, the top three are the top three in the North American Soccer League right now, looking in pretty good shape. Post Cosmos are 2 points behind. You know, both the clubs are top right now. It's boy, Edmonton, Franco. What the hell is Edmonton doing? That's amazing, man. 3 goals? They're giving up 3 goals. How many more 1-0 matches can Edmonton really win, Franco? That's amazing. I am more than impressed with Edmonton's story right now.
Yeah, I'm split on that. I'm impressed and also not impressed in the sense that I'm not sure you can win a championship with a team that scores as little as they do. But obviously,
yeah,
if you're defending that well, you could win it. So let's see how this plays out. I think I've got them down with 6 one-goal games, of which they've won 5. They're 5-1
yeah,
in one-goal game in the fall season alone. The only 2-goal game that they've had where they've scored more than 1 goal was the 2 late ones against the Cosmos, which, you know, I mean, that was like they were basically going to get maybe 1 goal at them. How they got 2 goals in that game was like almost unbelievable. Not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So this team is 8 goals for, 3 goals against, and they're in first place with Indy. So, yeah, that's a tough one to figure. I still don't think they can win it with that little offense. But saying that, I think they got a couple guys out there that can really put pressure on the defenders. Some real speed with Tommy Omiobi and Sani Niasse. Those guys are burners, you know. And then these guys that can finish, like Jake Keegan and Fordyce, you know. So they're a tough one to, you kind of underestimate these guys. And so I think it's going to come down to, you know, you've got to win this, I think, this portion, maybe the entire thing, before that final weekend. I think you're right, EJ. These teams, you have to win. You've got to get 3 points every time now, basically, and close to that. Because when it gets down to that final weekend, I think things are going to be basically decided. Teams are going to be dropping off. Indy's going to, like Indy did in the spring session, you know, they kind of, like, that last game, that was all theirs. You know, they had won it the week before in the weeks coming up to that. And I think the same thing's going to happen. You got to get that home field advantage now is going to be crucial. And that's what they're really playing for.
Yeah, Edmonton's obviously taking that Atletico Madrid approach, man. You know, limit them from scoring and take advantage of the few opportunities that we get. I mean, I feel like I'm looking at Atletico Madrid, you know, trying to go through La Liga, doing the same thing that Edmonton's doing in the North American Soccer League. They have a very, very, you know, they're pretty similar, man. I mean, they're doing the same exact thing. We saw Atletico, you can't score on Atletico Madrid. They barely score. Same kind of thing. But, Frank, you know, if you look at the table, man, there's no club out of this yet. Not one of the, as bad as Puerto Rico has been, as terrible as Fort Lauderdale has been, and Jacksonville finally gets that big road win. That was a big game for them this weekend, by the way. But, you know, you're talking about 6 points separating everybody from that fourth spot, right? So from Rio all the way down to Puerto Rico, we're talking about 6 points. That's obviously 2 games. I mean, that's why I'm talking about, and you were just talking about the same thing. It's going to come down to a matter of the you know, something stupid happening, just like with the Cosmos and Edmonton, like you're talking about. You know, you're looking at a 1-0 win. Next thing you know, you're down 2-1. You just gave away 3 points, and now you're in second place, third place, just like that. It's going to happen the rest of the campaign. Franco, there's only 10 matches left, 11 matches left in this whole thing. Like, yeah, this is – it's all essential now, Franco, especially, like I said, with Rio at 13 and Puerto Rico and Fort Lauderdale at 7. You're talking about 6 points, Franco. That's nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, right. It's going to come down to, I mean, it's going to be tight. I don't think Puerto Rico is going to be a factor in at the end. I don't think Jacksonville is either. I know they're close to it. I'm not sure about Carolina. I know that, you know, we've seen what they can do, and at their best, they're good. These teams can only be spoilers, and obviously that's going to happen. Rio, I don't think is going to be a factor, but they could be a major spoiler. So, saying that, I think, you know, still the formula is win at home and, you know, get some points on the road. That's how Indy got through the spring season. Remember, they only won 4 games. And they were, you know, pretty comfortable going into that last game, actually, you know. And they had to win that, and they did. So, I think that formula will work again now. But you got to win these. I think these 2 games coming up, Cosmos away at Puerto Rico. They haven't played there. Still a must. I think that you got to count on 3 points there, and then Carolina at home. again, all these home games, those are the must 3-point, those are big 3-point games. You got to win all your home games, I think.
Yeah, and Puerto Rico's, you know, they still haven't won on the road yet. They have their 1-1 and run record at home, but you know, they have some struggles, man. We already discussed it when we saw Puerto Rico. Obviously, they figured out a little bit because they're playing a little bit better than they were when they faced Cosmos last time out. But man, it's still a loss, a draw. The last four matches have not exactly gone well for Puerto Rico. And from what we saw the last time that the Cosmos faced Puerto Rico, that team, I still can't believe we're looking at a 2-2 draw. That 2-2 draw with Carolina this weekend, I couldn't even believe that result for them to go on the road and get two goals. This team still looks a little bit disorganized to me, Franco. I still think they have a long way to go, to be honest with you. But, I mean, you got to anticipate the Cosmos are walking down there knowing this is a business trip. I think this is where the Cuba trip kind of came in handy last year, where they had this right in the middle of a campaign stuff. You know, and now this is actually a regular season game where they actually have to go down to, you know, down there and play. So this is – it's different. It's not like a friendly against the Cuban team. This is like a real game against Puerto Rico, and they need these 3 points. So this is a business trip, man. I obviously hope that the Cosmos are going to take this pretty seriously because, obviously, the road – has not been all that well to the Cosmos this year. We know this. They need these 3 points. I mean, to give away 3 points from a team at the bottom of the table right now would be devastating, Franco. Would be devastating.
Yeah, I think you're right. They kind of get a little acclimation from last year's Cuba trip. You go down there, maybe not going to feel so. I don't know. It's like a different world. Look, it's almost a different country, you know, obviously. Puerto Rico is playing soccer. So, that little unease or unknowing what you're getting into there can make a little difference. But, yeah, you're right. They go in there, just play like they can. They should win this game. I don't think Puerto Rico. I think another team that might not be a factor, but there could be a spoiler, is Miami. Gone from one four-goal game where they looked great to zero shots on goal in their last game. I think they're just too inconsistent in Miami. It's taken them too long to get it together. Miami, Puerto Rico, they're like first-year teams, you know. Consistency is really tough. At high level, consistency is tough to attain. So I think Miami is actually moving in the right direction. Puerto Rico could be as well. But I don't think that they're – I think it's just too late for them to really be a factor in what's going on this year. Look at it. It takes a year or two to get your team together. It really does, and know what you're getting into. So I look for Miami to be a real factor next year, and maybe Puerto Rico as well. But right now, those are teams you've got to take 3 points on. Papa.
Yeah, well, Miami having only 7 matches played is certainly going to help them later, man. They have 13 games left in this campaign. That's a lot of points out there waiting for them. I mean, obviously, with Indy and the Cosmos and Ryo all playing 9 matches, they have 2 games in hand on that. So that's big, man. I mean, Franco, that's big. I just, you know, 13 matches, they have almost 40 points available to them when it comes down to it, which is a lot. But, all right, well, you and I have been talking for a while here, and I want to get Jimmy Mulligan down. So nice of Jimmy to come on. Obviously, as soon as he came over to the club, we knew we were going to have Jimmy on this show because Jimmy always comes on the show. He was on our show, I think, 3 times last year and twice back in 2014. So why would this year be any different? So good to see Jimmy back in a Cosmos uniform. Obviously, it's cool. So, we're gonna bring you the Jimmy Mulligan piece. Frank and I sat down with Jimmy about an hour ago. And enjoy that, and we'll be right back with you. So, Jimmy Mulligan piece. Enjoy. All right, well, just about a month ago now, our guest this week made his way back home. And, of course, I reached out right away to my man, bringing home Jimmy Mulligan back to the Cosmos. Oh, Jimmy Mulligan, welcome home, man. How does it feel to be back with the Cosmos in green and white?
Feels great. Great to be home. Great to be playing back in front of friends and family again.
Yeah, man. When we were at St. John's for the U.S. Open Cup, I thought of you both times, man. I know you would have loved to have been on that field, playing in familiar territory over there, man. I thought about you, Mickey. You would have loved to have been on that field for those games. Man, we missed you.
Oh, yeah. Would have been great.
Yeah, man. But let's talk about what's going on. Obviously, you spent the first part of the season with Swope Park and under Mark Dos Santos. Who we very well, we know him very well around here. And, man, talk to us about your time at Swope Park. Now, obviously, we missed you, and, you know, that had to be a good experience, Jimmy, because you look like a different player right now. Man, you look so composed. I mean, obviously, a trip down to the USL couldn't have been that much. Man, you look really composed out there, Jimmy. I noticed it right away.
Yeah, thank you. It was a great move for me. I got a lot of games, and they, you know, put a lot of faith in me and gave me a lot of confidence. And, you know, game in and game out, I was out there starting and getting a lot of minutes, and, you know, it helped me improve my game. That's all it's about. You got to get on the field. You got to get experience, and that's what really helped me, just playing all those games. And it was great to get out of New York. You know, I spent pretty much my whole life in New York. Went to college in New York and grew up in New York, so it was nice to see a new city and something very different than what I'm used to, and, you know, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, for those who don't know, that's Sporting Kansas City's affiliate club down there. And, man, you know, a cool little place they have down there, too. A little tiny, little quaint little park, man. That place is pretty cool. Now, obviously, you know, you leave there, and you still want to – I see your Twitter feed, man. I know you still kind of hang out with them because they were good to you down there. And, you know, you get into that social stuff, which is very cool, man. Is it tough when you, like, leave a club and you kind of, like, you know, you want to hang out with them still because they're, like, you know, they helped you get to, you know, back here to Cosmos. And, you know, do you feel like still reaching out to them? Like you, obviously, you still have a relationship with them.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I made a lot of great friendships there. They and, you know, they knew it. It was tough for me coming from New York to a place from Long Island on the beach. And, you know, now I'm going to a place where there's no beach and it's completely away from home. And all these guys really welcomed me in. You know, the whole coaching staff, the whole team, all my teammates were great to me. So, yeah, of course, I'm going to keep in touch with them. You know, it's great to have all these connections, you know, forever. So I was really happy to meet these guys, and it was really great meeting. And the fans were amazing there. And that's why I sent out those tweets, because, you know, they were always at our games, and the people in Kansas City love their sports, and they really showed up to every single game through the rain, and it was great. It was great to be a part of that.
Right? They don't care, man. They're going to show up. They don't care. That is cool. So the Midwest, man, we talk about the Midwest a lot down here, Jimmy, man. It's amazing how they really feel about soccer in the Midwest. Go all the way from Indiana right down, you know, Kansas City, St. Louis, all that kind of stuff, man, right down the middle of the nation. It's soccer territory out of nowhere. It's weird to actually talk about the middle of our country is so soccer hungry. And it was cool you got to be a part of that all. I think it's cool you got to be a part of all.
Oh, yeah, it was amazing. It was great. They love it. And, you know, Sporting, they sell out their games. I mean, it's been 80 games or something like that, consistently sold out. And it's just, it's a great atmosphere. Everyone loves their sports, especially soccer. And it was really cool to be a part of.
Yeah, man. You know, we talk about the USL here every once in a while, man. And, you know, now it's cool they're in that Western Eastern Conference thing that they did. Of course, man, I can't believe everyone's so close there, man. It seems like everyone's won 10 games and everyone's lost 7 games and everyone's kind of on this even keel down there. I mean, you look at the standings down there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, what? Wow, everyone's so close to each other.
Yeah, I know. Everyone kept telling me that before the season because this is obviously my first time playing in the USL. And they were saying, look, it's just you drop a game here, you win a game here, the next thing you know, you could be in 11th place, and the next game you could be back in 6th. And it's just such a tight race, and that's what's so great about it. It's so competitive. Every game matters, and it's really cool. It's a really, really cool league, especially the Western Conference.
Yeah. We Craig and I talk about hopefully they're going to get to the promotion and the relegation portion of all that kind of stuff at some point. Man, you've come on here before, and we've talked about some of this stuff. Man, I think it would be cool to start seeing some of these lower-tier teams starting to come into the NASL and some NASL clubs coming to the MLS. I mean, I assume you're a big proponent of promotion and relegation.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be great. We'd make everything so much more competitive, you know, and it'd be really cool. I mean, I know we're a few years off, but every league around the world does that. So it'd be really great to get to that you know, stage, and hopefully at some point it'll happen. But, yeah, it'd just make everything more competitive. Everyone's going to be fighting for a spot to stay in their league, so.
Yeah, man. And of course, we got to talk about this match this past weekend, Jimmy, because, my God, I actually thought, like there were going to be, like, 4 deaths on the field this weekend, man. You guys were killing each other. Everybody was just, I mean, my God, man, that was the most physical game I think I've seen all year, Jimmy. I mean, you know, obviously it's a physical league. It's just nonstop in the North American Soccer League. But the Tampa Bay-New York Cosmos rivalry took another step last weekend, Jimmy. Being involved with a match like that, and obviously being involved with that, Jimmy, that goal, what a pass that you put in the middle. You know, it's one thing when you throw a ball into the box and it's just this lofty thing where any goalie in the planet can just come out and say, yeah, you can't just do that. I loved your ball that you put into the box that ended up getting that penalty kick, man. You kept it low. You kept it at a trajectory where the goalie, you know, Pickens couldn't come out and make any kind of a play on that. And, you know, obviously they got the penalty kick, Paul.
that was a great job, Jimmy, keeping that ball, you know, maybe 9 feet off the ground or something. That I love that move, man. I thought that was a great entry for you. It got everything started.
Yeah, yeah. It worked out great. Hiro made a great run, so it was just, you know, it was easy to put the ball where he made the run, you know. And fortunately enough, we got the penalty. And even if Hiro was a second earlier, he could even maybe got the goal because, yeah, it was a low ball, and obviously the keeper couldn't make a play on it, and their defender even made a great header on it to defend it out. And, yeah, we got lucky enough to get that PK. But, yeah, you mean an outside player has to be able to whip those balls in, and we do crossing and finishing in practice all the time, and, you know, that's just part of the game.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to admit, Jimmy, I've been critical of you and Iose and Hunter Freeman for coming up so much. It seems like, you know, when there's set pieces and corners and deep throw-ins like that, it's tough when the defenders come up and take those throws and make those kicks because, you know, obviously at that point you're more a part of the offense than you are the defense. And if you get caught, a lot of bad things can happen in transition if your defensemen are up, you know, trying to push, man. I'm going to admit that I've been critical of you guys kind of pushing up a little too far, and sometimes it can cost you here and there. So, you know, is it easier for you to push up, man? I mean, obviously, you know, your throw-ins are phenomenal, man. You're putting balls right on people's feet. I love your throw-ins, man. Great stuff. But I'm going to tell you, I've been critical of you guys, you know, the defense pushing up and taking these plays in the offensive zone when you guys kind of get caught up there. Do you feel any of that? I mean, is it just me? I mean, you can tell EJ to shut up all you want, man. That's cool.
No, look, I mean, that's just our style of play. You know, Gio has, yeah, you know, ingrained that in our mind from the minute they, you know, rebooted the Cosmos. We want to be an attacking style team. We want to push our outside backs forward, and we want to get everybody involved. I mean, we want to be the team with the ball. And, you know, sometimes that's going to happen. We're going to lose the ball. There's going to be counterattacks against us. But, you know, we want to stick to our game plan. We want to stick to throwing the guys forward, but with the balance as well. So if we're attacking down the right side, we obviously want to have Iose up, but, you know, still balancing the line. And we could even get better at that. But we're not going to change the way we play. We love the solid play. We want the ball. We want the possession. And that's just another way to attack, and we're going to keep that going.
Yeah, you can see that you guys do a great job of possession, man. I mean, certain games like Puerto Rico where you guys absolutely dominate that game, they couldn't string anything together. And I know Franco wants to jump in here. Franco, man, get in here and talk to Jimmy.
Well, okay, I'm just going to just say one thing on that. I think GJ is kind of right on that. But I think as long as Hunter or Jimmy is back, I don't think they're both going to go up. You know, if one of those guys is back, then you're covered, I think, you know, on those quick counters. And teams are waiting for those counters, too. So, the other thing is, we were talking a little bit about Mark Dos Santos, and actually, we were like praising the. I thought I saw his Ottawa teams train a lot because they'd go to Florida a lot when I was down there, and they just spent a lot of time down there because of weather. And I always thought he did a great job. So we were just to clarify that we weren't getting down on him except for that. I thought it was a huge tactical error right at the end, but otherwise, I thought he did a great job. So I guess my question is, how was it? You know, sort of playing in maybe kind of different tactical, you know, formations and just a little different look at the game in Swope Park. And you know, how different was that, and how much did you learn from that?
Yeah, Mark, he's an unbelievable coach. He's a great player coach. He manages players so well, and that was something that I loved playing underneath him. And, yeah, he's a little bit different with the styles. He's a very tactical coach. Loves to keep our shape and keep us very organized, and that's why he's so successful, because it's very hard to break his teams down, and that's what he brought to Swope Park Rangers. And, you know, we struggled sometimes, but most of the time we were very organized, and it was very tough for teams to break us down. And he loves counters. He loves to, you know, be organized and be able to win balls and have fast wingers and be able to counter. And he thinks that's the way soccer is, you know, like evolved from the old days. And, you know, it's a different style. I agree with him. I love playing underneath him. And, yeah, it was a great experience.
All right. Yeah, man, listen. Bringing in Diosa for Arango. You know, a lot of people, when he first came in, and obviously they only gave him 3 minutes to come in and try and make something happen. And what does David Diosa do? but comes in and makes something happen, Jimmy. I mean, you know, when you see Juan come off the field, man, that was a great goal, man. Obviously, you know, the timing of it all didn't hurt either, Jimmy. That was great. But, you know, when you see someone like that come in, did you feel – I'm telling you, I felt when David Diosa came on that he was going to win this game and do something incredible in less than 5 minutes, and sure enough, did it. Are you not impressed with what Ciba and Flores and Diosa and all these guys are doing? Because, you know, you came here, and, you know, those guys were here when you left. But, you know, there's just a lot of new faces on this team from last year. Obviously, it's a whole different – not a whole different team, but, Jimmy, you know, there's a big different dynamic than there was here last year. And, you know, working with guys like that and having David Diosa come off the bench to come in and produce a goal like that, do you love seeing stuff like that? And I want to talk to you about my man in the middle back there, number three, David Ochang. What an amazing learning curve this kid has pulled off, man. Are you not impressed with David Ochang on that back line? And having him back there, you have to be able to consider going up that line a little bit easier when you know David Ochang's back there. I think that kid is phenomenal on that back line, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, first with Diosa coming into the game, it was amazing. I thought it was a great sub. He has so much energy.
Great.
He's playing so well. And I'm really happy for him to get that goal. You know, we've been working on it and talking about it in video all the time about making that near post run. And he got to the near post, got across his guy, and it was a great finish. And I'm very happy for him, and he deserves all of that. And David Ochang, he's got so much potential. He's a younger guy.
Oh.
He's so solid in the back. It's really great to play next to him, and where that back four is so solid with him. And it's been great playing. Great getting to know him. He's a great kid off the field, and it's been really awesome.
Yeah, we like him a lot around here, man. That's for sure. And you know, we were talking about the physical nature of this team. I actually thought Coach Campbell and Coach Gio were going to fight at one point. And Adam Moffitt and obviously Mr. King did end up getting into a little bit of a fight there, man. They both got sent off the pitch. That was tough to watch. I mean, King came after Adam like he had just insulted his whole family and ran over his dog. Like I couldn't believe it that King came after Adam like that. And what else could Adam do? Just say, well, man, that was tough to watch because Adam's not a fighter and Adam's not really that big of a trash talker either. I was shocked that Moffitt and King both got sent off and King absolutely came after him, Jimmy. I didn't get that at all.
Yeah, it was tough. Tough situation. But that's the rivalry right there. That's what
yeah,
we all love. We don't love the red cards, but we love the rivalry. We love the fight. And, you know, in the end, it was the referee's decision, and that's his decision. You know, that's what he made. But, it sucks to have him out for the next game, but that's it. That's the rivalry, and we love all that. We love that in sports. So.
Yeah, that's a big rivalry, man. Obviously, the Tampa Bay Cosmos rivalry is big. And Jimmy, I know you were getting ready at halftime to come on the field and you weren't there for Coach Gio. Jimmy, Coach Gio, Chelsea came up to Coach Gio for the halftime speech and said to Coach, what do you think of the refereeing in this match, Coach Gio? I mean, oh, my God, Jimmy, I couldn't believe he actually asked that. I actually can't believe he even answered it because, man, both of those coaches were trying to get every little call, every little thing. And even Coach Gio was like, this guy's over here barking and losing his mind trying to get every call. And I don't think it's right. Obviously, you didn't see that yet, but oh my God, Jimmy. The refereeing in that game was, Sagafi was, it looked like he was watching a different game at times, and he was just issuing cards. For, you know, sometimes there were some ticky-tack calls that he didn't, especially early. Some of those cards were not deserved, handing them out. I mean, how did you feel about the physicalness of this crazy game?
Yeah, to be honest, I mean, I love games like that. I love when it's physical. I love when refs let you play. And, you know, it's a tough, tough job, though. You know, being a referee, it's tough, you know.
It is.
Especially in a game like that where you got both coaches are, you know, screaming, trying to get something. And, you know, I give the guy credit for even being a part of it. So I can't say anything bad about him. It was a tough game to ref for sure, especially in a rivalry game. And, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, talk about the heat, man. Just give me before we let you go, I just definitely want to bring up the heat, Coach D. Man, you know, taking those breaks a half hour in is obviously something you guys need. And it's hot. I mean, have you been amazed? Obviously,
oh,
you weren't here for the first part where it was freezing for so long. And now it's just unbearably hot out there, man. How tough is that to play, man?
Oh, yeah, it was, to be honest, that game against Tampa Bay was a little bit easier just because the week before we played at 4 o'clock and the sun was still out and that was like the hottest game I ever played on turf. But, yeah, the humidity was crazy. We were soaking wet while we were playing But that's it, man. You just got to get through those conditions and, you know, grind out results like you did. But, yeah, it's and luckily enough, the Midwest is ridiculously hot, too, and humid at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I got kind of used to it. And but, yeah, it was a hot day. But luckily enough, we got, like, a little warm-up in, I could say, the week before when we played at 4 o'clock, which was – that was unbearable.
That is a little bit much, man. No, obviously – Puerto Rico's coming to town this weekend, and you know that'll be cool to see them, man. I just them getting a chance to go out to Puerto Rico and play some football. And obviously, you were part of the Cuba trip last year too. So how cool is it to actually see something else, man? Another little trip, Puerto Rico. I you're probably looking forward to this too, no?
Yeah, I'm so excited to go to Puerto Rico. It's gonna be a cool
trip.
And I've never been, and they're a good team to play against. That's gonna be another physical game, so. Yeah, it'll be really cool to be down there. Hopefully the weather is not too hot down there, too. But, yeah, I'm excited to go and, you know, get a result and enjoy it as much as I can.
Yeah, yeah, of course, man. And, Franco, you want to leave Jimmy with anything before we let him go?
Yeah, one last thing, Jimmy. I thought that game reminded me a little bit. I wonder if it reminded you a little bit of Cosmos of last year where you guys were really resourceful and even go right down to the last play almost, you know, where you have to make a defensive play on the line. You know, you guys able to pull it out. Are you kind of getting back that feel of last year?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we have to start games better, so we shouldn't even be in that position giving up those goals. We have to, you know, keep getting zeros in the back and, you know, be able to, because we're scoring goals offensively, and we need to make sure as a team we're defending better and, you know, keeping that zero on the board so we're not even put in that situation. But yeah, that's going to happen sometimes. The game's going to be like that. We're going to give up goals, and we're going to have to, you know, fight to the last minute. And that's, everyone's got to be mentally checked in, and I think we all were. I think we put in the effort for 97 minutes plus because of that 7-minute stoppage time, and, you know, we really got the job done. And that's going to be our, you know, we want to be like that always. We've talked about it forever. We want to finish games well. We want to start games well, finish games well. And that game against Tampa is definitely, you know, finishing a game well.
Yeah, you think? It's pretty nice, man. I mean, that's pretty nice, man. I mean, to be down 2-0 within 15 minutes of a match, especially at home, that's, you know, you're already behind the eight ball, man. I think you guys did a great job of, you know, keeping it right there and limiting their chances. My God, Jimmy, they didn't really have too many chances after that, that maybe two more chances that they had after that. I mean, you guys did a great job, especially in the second half, and especially when it was 10 versus 10. I mean, I don't even think that for more than my God, man, did a great job of keeping the ball away from them, which is what you're talking about. That's what you got to do, especially in a situation like that where you're trying to get back into a game and you finally get it to 2-2. Now you're both playing down, man. It's important to keep the possession of that ball, and that's exactly what you did.
For sure, yeah, definitely. But we have to, you know, manage the game like that. We got to keep possession, which is, you know, something that we can improve on. We did a great job against Tampa Bay. But, you know, most importantly, we have to come out starting games better. We have to come out flying. We can't be going down two goals and having to, you know, fight back and then do all this. We need to, you know, come out fighting, keep a zero in the back, and, you know, get some goals and then manage the game that way.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Jimmy, let's get you out of here. I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, man. I've been looking forward to having you on since you came back. Jimmy, man.
Yeah,
I'm excited
that I got on.
Yeah, man. I was looking forward to it too. you've been on the show. I think more than anybody else. I think you've been on the show 5 times, dating back 2014 and last year and this year now. I mean, man. You know, we love having you on.
I'm a regular, you know.
I'm serious, man. That's very cool. All right, Jimmy. Go get back to doing what you're doing, man. Again, we appreciate you taking the time, and you know, of course, Frank and I will probably see you on the 27th out at Short Stadium, but. Take on Carolina, but good luck. Enjoy the trip to Puerto Rico, man. We're both jealous. Man, have some fun down there. Don't forget to have at least a little bit of fun down there, Jimmy. I know you will.
Yeah, we'll get 3 points and have some fun. Thanks a lot, guys, for having me on.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy, we'll talk to you later, man. That's awesome. That's just awesome. All right, Jimmy. Very cool, man. Frank, that's cool. You know, we've had Jimmy on. I think we had him on 3 times last year. He came on 2014 as well. I'm Sportspalooza Radio. And Jimmy's a character, man. We've all known about some of the character stuff that he does. And he's a perfect fit for any club. I don't think there's any club that can have Jimmy Mulligan come on their side and not at least understand and appreciate that what he does on and off the field. You know, it's a shame. I should have brought up some of the off the field stuff because I know he's going to be making some appearances and, at the clinics and stuff because he always does. And he already has. He's already been back and already made one appearance for that's the stuff we love too, Frank. All the off the field stuff that Jimmy gets involved with. Great character guy.
Yeah, his personality is just really great because you need that too. Because like you can see where that starts to be effective and when things get tough, you know, because he's the real deal. You know, he's like that all the time. So when things are going good and you know they're goofing around or whatever, he's a character. You know, he's good. But when things are tough, like in a game like Tampa. He's still there, you know. He's got a lot of personality. He's not afraid of, you know, the pressure. You know, he's like talking there, like he loves a real physical game where things are going not necessarily in your favor all the time. He's thriving on that. You need guys like that to overcome that because, look, they gave up the two early goals. I thought those were a little bit difficult to stop, those goals. Obviously, you don't want to give them up, but, you know, that stuff happens, like you said. So you got to have guys like that or character guys, not just characters, but they're character guys too, you know. So you know that they're going to be there at 93rd minute too, and you need him to preserve that win for you. And, you know, things were going bad. I mean, it could have spiraled out of control. But, again, I think he's a leader, you know, in that sense too. So, yeah, all that stuff manifests itself in this good personality, big personality, and a real force on the field. So, yeah, Jimmy, always good to have him on the show as well. It's good for us.
Yeah, I think he was fired up at the end of that game, especially because of the second goal. Remember, he was trying to defend that second goal. He was the last defender between the goal and Jimmy Maurer. You know, obviously that didn't work out. And, he couldn't stop that ball. So I think the fact that he kind of was partly responsible for giving up that second goal a little bit and then the comeback, I think that's partly why we saw Jimmy so – man, he was pumped up. I mean, you saw Jimmy after that match, and he was absolutely pumped up, mouth open, fist in the air, like, you know, screaming like, yeah, we got this. I mean, it was so obvious in his face that he was, you know, happy to see this win. I think it's partly because of, you know, being responsible for the second goal and getting the Cosmos down 2-0, and then, of course, being involved with the penalty kick and the ball, the placement of that ball. Franco, the placement of that ball was unbelievable. He didn't get Pickens any time to, like, you know, make a choice of coming. How many times do we see a guy just, you know, I'm just going to float a ball into the box, and I don't know how effective it's going to be. And more often than not, it's not. You can't just float a ball into the box and expect the goalkeeper to just be like, yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's just, you really? That's the best you have? And Jimmy's cross into the box was unbelievable, man. It really had no height to it, and you knew it was going to create danger just because of the trajectory of the ball coming into that box. You knew it was going to create danger, and that's what you need. I thought that was a great shot. And then, of course, oh, my God, I forgot to bring up end save of a game. That ball was headed for that post at least when Jimmy Mulligan headed that ball away at the final stroke of the game. That was an amazing save, man. How he knew to be there and back up. He saw Jimmy Maurer coming out, and that whole back right side of that net was open and exposed and ready. And Jimmy, you saw Jimmy back it up, going, I think he's going to shoot this ball. And he did, and he was there. And that was huge, man. Obviously, if that ball goes in and makes it 3-3 after all the work that they did to get back from being down 2-0, that would have been a heartbreaker, a draw in that situation, Franco. That, who knows what that would have done for the psyche of the Cosmos. So we really got to thank Jimmy Mulligan for saving that ball. I've looked at that replay, I can't even tell you, 5-7 times I rewound that. Going in still yet, but it sure looked like it was earmarked for that post at the very least. Jimmy Mulligan was right there to stop it, and he really essentially saved the game, Franco. He really did.
Yeah, right. Those are almost intangibles. That, you know, and like you say, the cross, those just angles and being in the right place, you can't coach that stuff.
Yeah.
Those are intangibles that he brings. Being there, just being the right and doing the right things, you know, that's like, those little things that I'm not sure you get if there's a stat for much of that. I don't think there is. But those are more important than a lot of the stats, a million stats you can throw out there, and that's what he's bringing to the team. And, yeah, I mean, plus other real intangibles, you know, just the leadership that we talked about and all that, and positioning. So, yeah, I mean, it pays off. graphic examples right there. You put those on like sort of a highlight film for Jimmy, you know. If you're doing a highlight film for him, you're not going to see like a million goals, but you'll see stuff like that that like they're worth a goal. He was worth a goal in that game, maybe two goals, you know, even though he's not going to get any stat for it. Definitely he's a winner. So I think that's what I'm trying to get at with him is that he brought back that spirit, some of that spirit that the Cosmos had in the last couple of years, you know. He exemplifies that. It's kind of a winning spirit, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. And that's what I see with Jimmy. And yeah, it was really a good example for that whole game for him.
Yeah, it's really not about making a score sheet at that point. I mean, obviously he would have liked to have had an assist or of something of that nature from that play. But, you know, all of us will remember it for the play that he made to have to actually, you know, get the call down there. And you know, like you said, it may not appear on paper. And that save at the end of the game may not appear on paper, but those are two things that Jimmy Mulligan did to affect this game in an extremely positive. Come away with 3-2 win and 3 points is obviously significant. But to have that much of an influence on a goal that was scored and on a goal that wasn't scored, you know, that's a big thing, Franco. Yeah, Franco. For me, Franco, the Jimmy Mulligan kind of takes the player of the match for me. I mean, I know it always comes down to who makes the score sheet and who does this and what player does that. You know, in a game like that, when you really watch the game for what it was worth, Jimmy Mulligan was the player of that match. Even though he didn't score and even though his name doesn't appear anywhere, just outside of being a defender on the lineup, he had such an influence on this match on both sides of the ball all game. I think that's what makes a man of the match award, not just because you scored a goal. You know, stuff like that really matters to me, Franco. It's not just about making a score sheet. It's about all those little intangibles that you mentioned, man.
Yeah, sure. Basically, that's part of the essence of soccer. I mean, look at it. There's only a couple goals scored or whatever. Most of the time, you're doing stuff to try to set yourself up to score or stop the other team from scoring, but there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, there's so much stuff going on out there, and he's one of those guys that's doing all that. You got to be really active. Another thing, talking about the end of the game there, I wanted to throw this in. A couple guys were on the bench for Tampa, Tommy Heineman, one guy that we really like to talk to, and he's like kind of a Cosmos killer, you know. I noticed he was still on the bench. I was kind of waiting for him to come in. All of a sudden, he's not in there, and they go 97 minutes, and he's still not in. I think that was maybe a tactical error on Tampa's part, too. Junior Burgos is another guy I thought that could have been a factor for Tampa. They never saw those guys get off the bench. So that was kind of in the Cosmos' favor. I mean, they really played right to the end, as Jimmy was saying, and I thought that was what you got to do, too. And, again, there's no stat for that, too, because they say it's a 90-minute game. But this was a 97-minute game, and those first 15 minutes where Tampa did score two goals were very important. And those last 7 minutes scored a goal and then had one off the line. Those are, you know, I mean, every minute it really counts, you know, from the kickoff to the end. And that's what you're going to see through the rest of the season. It's a very competitive season in the NASL, and I think it's going to continue.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty nice goal for Joe Cole, too, man. I mean, that was a pretty nice cross, and it was a pretty nice goal. I mean, to make a 1-0 like that, and obviously the second goal for PC was a pretty nice goal, too, man. PC has certainly had his fair share of success against the Cosmos as well, man. I mean, we see PC all over the place. He just seems to always be on the score sheet every time the Cosmos play him. And obviously Guerra had a big influence on this match too, man. Obviously a couple of calls went against him as well. He actually could have got a second yellow there. I actually thought he was going to be sent off the pitch, but he didn't call that one. More strange refereeing decisions. I mean, you call them the card that he got the yellow card for. I thought he shouldn't have got a yellow card for, and the call that he didn't get that should have been a yellow card, he didn't get a yellow card for. So I was just like, okay. What the hell's going on here, man? that was extremely dangerous. Yeah, see, Tommy Heineman, Franco, even when it got to be 2-2 and then when Moffitt and King came off, do you think maybe that could have been a time to bring on someone of the presence of a Tommy Heineman? Like, how did you leave him off the bench? I still don't get it. I don't know if it's because he got hurt the last time he came here and he was like, I'm not playing on this crap pitch. I hate this place. Who knows what goes through Tommy Heinemann's mind? Because obviously, Shoe Stadium is a little bit of a nightmare to play on, man. That surface sucks. We know it. So maybe that was part of it. Maybe Tommy was just like, I don't know. You know what? And when they got up 2-0, maybe that was another part of an influence by it. It was just like, you know what, we're up 2-0. Tommy, I think you can probably relax and take it here. And, you know, when it got to be 2-2 and they were at 10 versus 10 for the last 25 minutes of the match, you'd think Tommy Heinemann might have been like, hey, coach.
Too. I mean, you just bring up the question, you know, is Tampa, you know, spending too much time worrying about things that are out of your control, such as referee calls and that sort of thing, and not paying attention to things you can control like that. That's a key tactical move right there, and a big piece of the puzzle that can win the game for you is a guy like Tommy Heinemann, and you just wonder. I mean, that was a good, fortunate move, but hey, I mean, the Cosmos, I thought, made the right moves. I think you brought this up before, EJ. You like that Andres Flores Piosa combination in there, and that's what won the game. I think Seba might have set that up, but those guys finished it up, and they're pretty well. Yeah, they're playing well together, all those guys. So, you know, you gotta spend your time concentrating on finding the right combinations and getting the right players on the field, and I think Gio Salvarez has been doing that.
Yeah, Seba to Flores to Diosa, man. Yeah, that's another thing. And Seba needs to get on that score sheet, but it was at least nice to have him, you know, be an influence on a goal like that at that point. I mean, that was obviously pretty big, and you know, Seba needs some confidence going forward here. Nice to get him on the board and see him getting, you know, he needs some more goals. But we got a couple matches tonight, Franco. We got a little derby with Jacksonville and Fort Lauderdale going on, and Minnesota and Tampa Bay tonight as well. I expect a few goals in that Jacksonville-Fort Lauderdale match tonight. I mean, I think these two are going to be have a little bit of a party against each other tonight, to be honest with you, man. We'll see what happens there. Obviously, Jacksonville getting that big win. Man, it was still nice to see them get that road win out of the way. And you know, Fort Lauderdale is obviously struggling. Both of these two teams are down at the bottom of the table. I mean, but at the same token, Frank, we just mentioned it. A win for one of these two clubs, you're in the thick of this race. That's all it takes, man. Either one of these two teams comes away with 3 points, especially Jacksonville. Frank, if Jacksonville comes away with 3 points, they are tied with Miami and Minnesota right outside that fourth position. Don't tell me this game isn't big to them. I know we're not expecting Jacksonville to be here in the end, and there's still a long way to go for that club, but we do realize that 3 points for this team, and they're right here, and there's plenty of football left to play to get them in there. Craziness. It's amazing, right?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think what's going to make the difference, and I think the Strikers picked up a Maori, who, you know, his Serie A days are basically over. But in this league, you know, for a few games, that's a guy that could make a difference, and you could vault those guys out. I think Jacksonville didn't do that. Jacksonville has not picked up one or two difference makers, and I think they need to do that. And I think Tony Meola might have waited a little too long on that. I would still think they should have probably had patience and faith in him to get it right down there, because I don't think the new coach is going to do a whole lot better than Tony did with what they've got. Saying that, I think they needed to pull the trigger and get a difference maker in there. And the Strikers take a little bit of a chance with Maori. I think he's coming in cheap. And so it's not a big risk. You know, it might work, it might not. But I think he's a guy that reminds me a little bit of like Samaras, you know, a big guy that can really play. He's a little older, but he's also had less injury problems than Samaras with Ryle. So those are the kind of guys I think that can make a difference. You know, you get your team down and then throw one or two guys like that in there, all of a sudden, then I think you can make those moves. Otherwise, I think these teams are just either don't have enough quality or they don't have the consistency to sustain really advancing at the standings.
Were you shocked by the signing of a Maori man? I mean, I was kind of taken back by it. I mean, this is someone who's never left Italy. You and I obviously both know this name very well. I mean, there's no clue. Everyone out there knows that Frank and I know a lot about Italian football. We both of us can go back a long time. I'm shocked to see Amari say, you know what, maybe I should make a trip to America. I mean, obviously he's been with Torino the last couple of years. Boy, he's been all over. I mean, we know he's been all over the place. What is he trying to gain by coming here, Franco? And what does Fort Lauderdale really expect to get out of him? Obviously, like you said, he's down at the end of his career. He didn't get picked up for the Serie A campaign. So obviously someone said, you know, if this guy still wants to play, maybe we could find some room for him over here. Fort Lauderdale, the North American Soccer League, I'm kind of taken back by it. Do you think he's going to come here and actually, you know, have a big influence on the rest of the fall campaign, Franco?
Well, yeah, I know that they've been shopping him here to the U.S. specifically to MLS and/or NASL for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
I think MLS, what they were looking at, nobody wanted it there, basically. But, you know, I think his days with Serie A, maybe the top level, are done. But I think he still has something to offer. I know some people that were trying to work with him, and, you know, they believe in him enough to think he can still bring something. Like, it's basically a 10-game season he's coming into here. Yeah, he could probably do that, you know. So
maybe.
I think he's coming in cheap. Now, if you're saying you've got to play, you know, 34 games of Serie A or even a 42-game Serie B schedule, he's probably not going to be that's going to be tough for him. But saying that, he could have a big influence. I mean, he scored 10 minutes into his debut, so in a game there weren't too many goals to be had, by the way. So I think he could actually be a factor, you know. And look, again, if he's not, at least they try. I mean, the strikers team to kind of figure out. I mean, just got rid of PC, okay? So that guy, you know, produced, basically was involved with two goals, against the Cosmos for Tampa Bay. Had they kept him, you know, they might have been better off, but whatever they're going through,
yeah. They
got rid of him, brought in a Maori, and I think he, if not make up for PC somewhat, maybe at least give him a shot at hanging in there, because I think he's still got enough to give in, again, a short season.
Well, he scored more goals for Fort Lauderdale in one game than he did in 2 years in Torino. So, I mean, man, obviously he hasn't been a big influence over there recently. I don't know, man. I the turf thing is going to be an interesting transition for him, too. Obviously, there is no turf in Italy. They don't care about turf. So he's going to have to learn how to change his game completely, especially at 36 years old and everything that you've already done in your career. Now you have to learn how to play on turf, too? Yeah, have fun with that, man. That's back there. I almost feel bad for the guy. It's just, these surfaces stink in the North American Soccer League. I'm really shocked that he actually chose the North American Soccer League with all these turf stadiums all over the place, Franco. That's not going to be fun for him. He's not going to enjoy his time here. I mean, obviously, he's only going to have an influence to only get to play 12 or 13 games or whatever it's going to be. But, and another thing, to come to Fort Lauderdale, a team that's kind of out of the picture a little bit, are you extending your career just to for what? I don't get what he's trying to do. I guess we'll see what happens. What we got going on this weekend, Franco? Puerto Rico. We heard you mention how excited he is to go to Puerto Rico. Obviously, the guys got to go to Cuba last year too. Getting to see some cool things, man. Why couldn't the Cosmos have asked you and I to come make the trip to Puerto Rico? We'd have gone down there.
Yeah, I thought what Jimmy said was great. He says we're gonna get 3 points and have some fun or something. I mean, this guy's attitude is great. You know, I mean, we love the have fun part. Those guys are going down there and they're going to enjoy this trip and they're going to, like you say, it's a business trip. But, they're going down with the right attitude. So I don't really know what to expect when you go there. You know, I don't think they do either, but they're going at it to get the 3 points. And again, you know, with the right attitude, I think they're going to, it's a good sign. You know, Cosmos have that, that sort of confidence that they're just going to go down there and get the 3 points. So that'll be good to see if they can do that.
Yeah, that's cool. And I just want to mention one more thing about the County Regional Development Center. They have some tryouts going on. The Westchester tryouts are going to be at the House of Sports in Ardsley. The under-7 through under-9 is going to be at 5:30, 6:30 in the afternoon on August 22nd and 29th. And the under-10 through 12 is going to be at the House of Sports as well, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. on August 22nd and 29th. You know, all you got to do is call 855-71-COSMOS or send an email to rdc@nycosmos.com and you can check out both the Westchester and Suffolk County tryouts. There's a lot going on. If you have your kid wants to learn how to play soccer the right way, they're going to have some of the coaches over there. Obviously, a player or two will show up and help. It's got a lot going on with the Cosmos, so check into that. That's cool stuff. Of course, we always mention that stuff around here. I love that stuff. That's great. All right, Franco. Big match this weekend. Where are you going to be checking out the match? You'll be home?
Yeah, sure. I'll try to stream it again like I did last week. We had some problems with that, I think. One last thing on that, though. Adam Moffat won't be available.
He won't.
Hopefully it's only one. Yeah, I think it's hopefully a one gamer. I think that's what it should be. I think the Cosmos are really going to miss him. That's a lot on Danny Zatella. I think Danny's really good at stepping up. And we'll see. I think that's a really good position to watch to see how the Cosmos do there.
Yeah, not happy to lose Adam Moffat, obviously. It's he's pretty damn good, man. Obviously, all his experience is crazy. Converting these penalty kicks, he's been solid. nonstop perfect. It's nice to have him and that confidence at the line in case you need it. All right, Franco, let's get everybody out of here. Of course, thanks for everybody. Thank Jimmy Mulligan for taking the time and hanging out with us this week. Well, Jimmy Mulligan's a fantastic fan. great guy to have on the show. So, welcome back to the team, Jimmy, of course. And, Franco, have a good weekend, my friend. And are you still planning on coming up for the Carolina match next weekend or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see you guys, everybody there. 5 points, guys,
nice.
Everybody, hopefully.
Nice. You and I will be there. I know I'll be there, too, so that's cool, man. All right. Again, everybody, thanks again for taking the time. We'll catch you next week here on Into the Cosmos. Ciao.